Welcome to Torah from JTS, a weekly commentary from the Jewish Theological Seminary.
This week's commentary for Parshat Ha'azinu was written by Dr. Ofra Arieli Bakenroth, Associate Dean of the William Davidson Graduate School of Jewish Education and Assistant Professor of Jewish Education at JTS. The Poetics of Loss. Growing up, books were always present in our house, arranged by topic in large bookshelves. Arieli Press, an Israeli fine arts publishing company, was founded in 1922 by my grandfather, Yosef Arieli, Zichrono Livracha, a master printer and an author. My father, Ariel Arieli, Zichrono Livracha, an extended family, were all involved in the printing business in some capacity. Printing has always been regarded as a way to disseminate knowledge in a democratic way, and has been especially precious to the Jewish people, who believe that spreading knowledge is Avodat Kodesh, holy work, akin to Moshe teaching Torah on Har Sinai. In addition to many museum catalogs, books of great Israeli artists, photography books commemorating the wars and celebrating Israel's achievements, Arieli Press frequently printed poetry books in memory of soldiers killed in many wars Israel fought with its neighbors. Growing up, I read these emotionally difficult books, filled with writing by the fallen soldiers and their families and friends, and through them, learned to appreciate the succinct yet expressive language of poetry. I was, therefore, eager to explore the specific command given by Moshe to God to address the people of Israel this last time with a poem. In the previous Torah portion, Moshe is instructed by God to speak to the people of Israel. Therefore, write down this poem and teach it to the people of Israel. Put it in their mouths in order that this poem may be my witness against the people of Israel. Moshe not only addresses the people of Israel in the poem, he chooses to direct his last verses to heaven and earth, making his speech powerful and eternal as the first verse of the portion claims, "Give ear, O heavens, let me speak. Let the earth hear the words I utter." According to Chizkuni, Rabbi Chezke ben Manoach, a 13th century rabbi, Moshe calls the forces of nature to witness his last address before his death to give it additional power, and alludes to the story of creation. He continues with a retelling of the history of his relationship with the people of Israel since becoming their leader. Moshe summarizes God's justice and compassion and the failings of the Israelites. He touches upon both the punishment the Israelites will face and their ultimate redemption. Why does God ask Moshe to reiterate the relationship between God and Israel for the last time in the form of a poem? What is the power of poetry? The 18th century Hasidic rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev believed that songs are an integral part of all religious service. He argued that singing makes Torah not only close to one's heart, but also unforgettable. Poems can be more powerful and memorable than prose, and at the same time, more accessible and retainable. The 19th century commentator, Rabbi Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, then Tziv, emphasizes the richness of poetic language. The vibrancy and resonance of a poem come from the way it is written. With few words and intricate syntax, the speaker can say much more than in prose. Then Tziv adds that poetry forces the reader to dive deeply into the written verses and to discover allusions, hidden meanings, and connections. Moshe's poetic language in Ha'azinu inspired other artists to compose their own poems, citing its verses. In 1937, a Soviet poet, Vasily Ivanovich, and a lyricist, and Dmitry Pokras, a composer, referred to the metaphor of God as an eagle protecting a Jewish army fighting against the Nazis by spreading his wings and protecting them from all evil. A more recent arrangement for verse 13, "He fed him honey from the crag and oil from flinty rock," composed by Gil Adelma, a neighbor of my family's in Givatayim, became a popular song, still heard in camps, religious services, and performed by dance troupes all over the world. Another notable example is the poem Mineged, From Afar, by the beloved Hebrew poem Rachel Bluestein. Rachel suffered from tuberculosis and was forced to relinquish her dream of building Kibbutz Degania. She moved to Tel Aviv, where she eventually succumbed to the illness. In Mineged, she invokes the dramatic and tragic end of the Torah portion when Moshe is instructed by God to climb up the Nebo mountain and to look at the vast land of Israel, all while knowing that he will never cross the river to reach the promised land. "Ascend these heights of Abarim to Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab facing Jericho, and view the land of Canaan, which I am giving the Israelites as their holding." In Rachel's poem, standing on Nebo becomes a symbol for her own unfulfilled yearnings, and a metaphor for the essential human experience of loss and shattered expectations. Rachel refers to the same wings mentioned in Moshe's poem, but for her, these wings bring neither help nor hope. She is standing on one shore, lonely and desperate. Moshe and Rachel are mourning the future they will never experience. Rachel will never return to Degania and will never see the Kinneret, Lake of Galilee, she loves so much. Moshe will never cross the Jordan River and will never enter the Promised Land. They both experience defeat. Attentive the heart, the ear listening. Is anyone coming? Every expectation contains the sadness of Nevo. One facing the other, two shores of a single river, the rock of fate, ever far apart. Spread your wings, see from afar. There, no one is coming, to each his own Nevo in a land of plenty. As I read the poem this year, I can't avoid thinking about the tragic situation that overwhelms us today. Living during a pandemic and suffering the effects of COVID-19. We're all sheltering in place, nostalgic for the lives we used to live, contemplating the lives we had to abandon is our Nevo. We lost the lives we used to lead, and our future is, right now, unimaginable. There is a cliff of separation between our current lives and the lives we lead. As we are going into the beginning of the school year and the holidays season, we face huge deviations from our regular practices. We are also looking at a future that holds many secrets and surprises. Our beloved routines will never be the same, and the future is obscure. For educators, this abyss is incredibly exasperating. Teaching, by definition, relies on close connections, on creating relationships, and on seeing and being seen. With all the advancement of technology, teaching through Zoom is hardly a satisfactory replacement. I long for the day I can sit in my classroom with my students, studying with them as we all did for many years. I miss my students, and I miss the interaction with people around me. And as we approach this holiday season, I pray that crossing the abyss and returning to normalcy is just around the corner. I want to wish you much health, safety, and happiness, and may the day when we can once again celebrate together with families and friends arrive soon.
If you enjoyed this program, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and discover JTS's other series by visiting jtsa.edu/podcasts. To learn with JTS faculty in live online classes, visit jtsa.edu/online. And you can get in touch with us by emailing onlinelearning@jtsa.edu. Thanks for listening.